And welcome back. All right, hour number three tonight. We are facing so many threats now, and this Supreme Court decision, 5-4, with Amy Coney Barrett voting against the U.S. Constitution, events that this is all on Trump. Two of his three appointments are horrific. And one of them is, it's that bad. All right, we're going to talk now to Mitch Henderson about how to defend yourself in a shootout, among other things. This is very important. He's going to give you some tips like he did last time. And, you know, if it gets real bad and it's looking real bad. In fact, real quickly, I talked to someone who's kind of down and out but doing well, a gentleman. And he's living in a housing project for people who don't have homes. But he's a smart guy. And I asked him. I saw him the other day, and I was at some distance, but I had a conversation with him. I said, what is it like in the city? We're in a small city here, a small town. And he said, it's horrible. He said, I don't even want to go in there. He said, I'm not afraid of anybody. But I went in there last week, for example. He rides a bicycle. He'll take the bus, and the bus has a bike rack on it. He'll take his bike off the rack when he gets to where he's going, and he'll do his business and catch the bus and put his bike back on the rack. But he said when he got off the bus and rode up to this store, it was a big store, he said there were invaders hanging around out in front of the store on the fringes. And he rode by them, and there were some obvious derogatory comments made. He said he looked at them, and he got scared. He said, they hate us, and they're dangerous people, many of them. They're not here to help build a better America. Anyway, I got the view of from people who are on the other side, and it's a bad side to be on. So you may well encounter a day where you're going to have to shoot to protect your life, save your home, family, whatever. And Mitch is very, very well versed in the art of defensive gunfighting, we'll call it, just for fun. And other things we're going to talk about too. Hello, Mitchell, and welcome back.
Hello. So first, I'm going to talk about NATO's war on Russia. First.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
So this is sort of the problem and then a solution. Okay.
NATO's war on Russia. NATO. And many of you who grew up when we actually had school systems were taught that NATO was a good thing and it was formed to confront the evil Soviet Union. Now, there was some truth to that. It worked. The Soviets were not our friends. It was a terrible form of government. Communism just doesn't work. But now we have a different NATO. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay. So, according to NATO, the next Russian invasion into NATO will be a Russian invasion of Finland. What is Russia doing to Finland that is so threatening? Basically, Russia is doing to Finland what Mexico is doing to the United States, allowing refugees to cross their country to get to Finland. You see, if you're a citizen of a Central Asian nation, you can enter Russia without a visa.
I didn't know this. This is very important. I didn't know this. Thank you. Go ahead. Very interesting.
If you are a citizen of the Asian nations of Brunei, Hong Kong, Laos, Macau, the Maldives, Mauritius, South Korea, Seychelles, or Thailand, you can enter Russia without a visa. If you are from the Pacific Islands of Fiji, Palau, Samoa, or Vanuatu, you can enter Russia without a visa. If you are from the African nations of Botswana, Cape Verde, or the Republic of South Africa, you can enter Russia without a visa. If you are from any Central American nation except Costa Rica, you may enter Russia without a visa. If you are from any South American nation except Chile, you may enter Russia without a visa. If you are from the Caribbean nations of Antigua and Barbuda, Cuba, Dominica, Grenada, Jamaica, or St. Kitts and Nevis, you can enter Russia without a visa. If you are from any other nations on Earth, you can get a transit visa for 3 days if traveling by air and 10 days if traveling by land. In other words, Russia is the easiest nation in Europe for anyone from anywhere to get into. If you request a transit visa, they will give it to you at the border at the airport. However, Russia strictly enforces its immigration laws. You can easily get in, but it is absolutely impossible to stay. Consequently, Russia is the easiest way to get into Europe by land, just as Mexico is the easiest way to get into the United States by land. Are we in mortal peril of the Mexican army launching an attack into the United States? Using this as the case proving Russia intends to invade Finland is patently absurd. The whole narrative is utter nonsense, and we would be chumps to believe these double-standard, hypocritical, and lame excuses for war.
Right.
Why does Russia have to enforce Finland's immigration law? They have no obligation to, just as Mexico has no obligation to enforce ours. The refugees cannot and will not stay in Russia because transit visa holders will absolutely be forcibly expelled when their time is up. Those who overstay their visas will be fined and deported. Not maybe deported, but absolutely deported. There is no judge who will let you stay. You must obey the immigration law. If you enter Russia illegally, you will do 2 years hard labor in Siberia before you are deported. This is not a maybe, but a for sure. That is why Russia does not have an illegal alien problem. They enforce their laws. How odd that if Russia does it to Finland, it is an evil act of war, but if Mexico does it to the United States, it is a human right. The double standards are appalling, okay? Along the Russian border with Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, they are building bunkers and putting up tank traps to keep the Russians out. The Baltic nations are ethnically cleansing all of their Russian citizens. Even 80-year-old women in nursing homes have to go. Germany and Sweden, these are people who lived there all their lives, were born and lived there all their lives.
Oh, my.
Germany and Sweden say that Europe must spend much more money on defense. It is time to get ready for the inevitable and certain invasion of NATO by Russia. Germany has torn down a monument to the firebombing of Dresden, a target of no military value, arrayed by Americans and the British just to kill innocent civilians. In the 1950s, they reported 500,000 killed during the raids. In the 1960s, it was down to about 250 innocent civilian kills. By the
70s,
it was
250,000.
And by the 1970s, it was a neat 150,000 killed. By the 1980s, it was claimed that at least 100,000 were killed, still more than what the atomic bombs had killed in Japan. In that decade, with its anti-nuclear war protests, it was important to impress that conventional bombing killed more people than atomic bombs. This was always the story. It continued to go down to the U.S. government official number of only 25,000. That is how many Palestinian civilians that Israel has murdered with bombs. Israel is justified in doing that, so therefore the memory of American and British doing it to the Germans has to be erased. The monument is gone. They are erasing this from the German people's memory. There's no reason for Russia to attack NATO. The Historia is nonsense. It is a lie. Just like saying that if we do not defend Ukraine today, tomorrow Russia will be invading NATO. No, it is not. There is nothing about the war in Ukraine that is analogous to a similar war with NATO. NATO wants a war. The U.S. Defense Department said that we need to spend a lot more money on defense because we are going to war with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. We've been planning this for decades. What is it about these nations that the United States must take them down? Well, they do not allow gay marriage, and they all violate human rights by not having special rights for LGBT people. That is the focus of the human rights campaign. We are told that if we do not support Ukraine, all of Europe will be lost. This is nonsense on its face. Russia has not threatened any NATO nation. Putin and Lavrov have always made that very clear. Why has the United States given the Ukraine $120 billion and wants to give them $60 billion more this year? The government tells us that it's to support democracy, freedom, and human rights in Ukraine because Russia has none of these things. Ukraine has no democracy, and there is no freedom in that absolute police state. So that leaves human rights. What does human rights mean? It means gay rights. You see, Russia does have democracy and freedom just as much as Great Britain has, just not freedom to be a raging sodomite. We are protecting gay rights in Ukraine. This is what we are spending our money on. How did we get here? On January 23, 1993, Bill Clinton and Al Gore met with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Colin Powell. Clinton and Gore were pressing for allowing LGBT people to serve openly in the military. They said that gay rights were the same as African-American rights. Powell, who's African-American, disagreed, saying that race was a benign characteristic and that sexuality is a behavior and not the same at all. However, Powell supported the implementation of Clinton's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on gays in the military in 1993. Colin Powell became George W. Bush's Secretary of State in 2001. In 2004, U.S. Ambassador Lawrence Butler used U.S. taxpayer money to have billboards erected in Macedonia with pictures of gay couples and the slogan, Face Reality, the campaign to promote the rights of sexual minorities. In January 2009, Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. The founding charter of American gay rights diplomacy was delivered by Clinton at a speech in Geneva in December 2011. And this, I quote her, gay rights are human rights, and human rights are gay rights. To all gay and transgender people around the world, you have an ally in the United States, and you have millions of friends among the American people. We will use all tools of American diplomacy, including the potent enticement of foreign aid, to promote gay rights around the world, end quote. When the United States promised Zelensky that we would support Ukraine against Russia, Zelensky had to promise that he would allow gay pride parades and drag queen story hours. In August 2022, Zelensky pledged that gay people could have state-recognized civil partnerships. In June 2023, the European Human Rights Convention told Zelensky that they either pass a law that gives gays the right to marry with equal status as heterosexual marriage, or they will lose funding to fight Russia. The war in Ukraine is over gay rights. Over 500,000 white Christian men and women have died for gay rights. Gay rights are the bludgeon that is used to attack Christians in the West. Gay rights is against Christ. The gay rights agenda is an anti-Christ agenda. Gay rights has already been used to genocide over 500,000 Christians in Ukraine. Bush's Secretary of Defense, who was also Obama's first Secretary of Defense, fought to allow gays into the Boy Scouts and the military. That was Robert Gates. Did Trump put a stop to this? No, he did not. He appointed Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State in January 2017. Rex Tillerson not only fought to have gays allowed into the Boy Scouts, but he also wanted gay scoutmasters and wanted transgender boys admitted. Trump also made openly gay Rick Grenell, Director of National Intelligence. The year before that, Grenell was in the State Department leading a campaign to decriminalize homosexuality in 70 countries worldwide. With the inauguration of the pedophile Biden regime in January 2021, gay rights became the official purpose of the United States of America. America is trying to establish an LGBTQI plus empire in the world. NATO's war on Russia is, in essence, a war on Christian family values. NATO's war on Russia is a war against Christianity. NATO right. is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist intends to make war on humanity. Their ultimate goal is the annihilation of humanity. Yes.
Hold on. It's really incredible for those of us who grew up when the education system in this country used to teach us about NATO and the Soviet Union and all that, and to see where it's gone now, that the head, that Satan's own head stands above and is peering down all over Western Europe and the United States and is spreading his credo of evil, pedophilia, perversion, disgusting behavior toward children, the theft of childhood, pure evil right in front of us, and no one is able to stop it here. We are spreading cancer spiritually, morally, intellectually, cancer all around the world. We are the great Satan. You're right. There's no other way to look at it, honestly. We are. That's us. Satan are us.
The ultimate goal is the annihilation of humanity. Woke culture is a culture of death, basically.
You got it.
Okay,
got
so, it. You know what? The reason for NATO, the Soviet Union, has been gone for 32 years now. What the hell does NATO exist for? Who's their enemy?
Reason.
They don't have an enemy. They are the enemy now.
That's right.
Yeah. They are the enemy now. So this past Saturday, NATO Chairman Admiral Bauer advised all NATO people to make sure you have fresh water, batteries, a radio, and a flashlight so that you can survive the first 64 hours after the Third World War has begun. NATO is serious about going to war with Russia. Do you want to know what the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip feel like? Well, the disgusting pedophile Biden regime is doing its best to let you know exactly what they feel like, because it's coming to you. Okay?
You got it.
So,
my best counsel, and this, I'm speaking for Erica here as well. Our best counsel is for all of you out there, vaxxed or unvaxxed, minimize your mingling and hugging and all the rest of it with others. If you're vaxxed, you've got an immune system that's severely compromised. You don't want to be around the unvaxxed because they're carrying a normal load of common bacteria, viruses, etc., and they'll shed it on you. And with no immune system, you could really get nailed. If you're unvaxxed, you don't want to be around the vaxxed for the opposite reason. They're sick, they're shedding, they have lots of spike protein to give you, and you're going to be, it's a protein. Remember, it's not a virus or bacteria. It's a protein, a little tiny thing, and it'll get into your body, and it'll start to replicate if you're unlucky, and it does, and then you're in the same trouble that the vaxxed are in. So minimize your contact. I know that's antisocial sounding, but just try to. It's the best thing you can do. Wear a mask, wear gloves, use common sense. Don't share glasses, don't share drinks, food. If you're married and you know each other really well and you've got some vaxxed commonality, whether it's unvaxxed or vaxxed, I guess you'll know what to do. Anyway, be careful out there. These are unprecedented times. Go ahead, Mitch, please.
Okay, so now I'm going to talk about gunfighting, okay? And let me start out by making this crystal clear, okay, that what I'm describing for you is not self-defense in society right now with law and order. Even if we don't really have law and order, it's not for now. This is after the government falls apart, after there's no electricity, there's no nothing. After civilization has fallen, that is when this counts. So this is not self-defense advice for normal everyday life. This is for extraordinary times, okay? So a gunfight is not a contest. It is a fight for your life. There is no second-place winner. It is a vicious and relentless struggle. You must use massive violence, not just the most violence that you are capable of. You must exceed what you are capable of. You must not falter or your life is gone. There are two parts to a gunfight. First, you must avoid getting shot. After the fall, there will be no ambulances and no level one trauma centers. A wound that you could easily survive in the present times could be fatal after the fall due to lack of medical intervention. There will be bleeding, but there will be no first-line IV volume expanders like normal saline or lactated ringers. There will be even less likely second-line IV choroidal volume expanders such as albumin or DES available. There will be no last-ditch IV nor epinephrine to boost your blood pressure and perfuse your kidneys. This is real. You simply cannot afford to fail or make mistakes. So So I was in my first gunfight at 7 years old in Frakesville County, Kentucky. It was Sunday, and we were at my aunt's front yard visiting. Her house was next to a little country store with a gas pump. Four men pulled up to the pump and got out to pump gas. My aunt said the store was closed. They said to open it. My aunt pulled out a revolver and politely reiterated that the store was closed. They jumped back in the car and drove off. A few minutes later, they drove back by and stopped in front of the house, opening fire with carbines and pistols.
Wow.
It was fast, violent, and furious. Okay, now listen, this is what human beings will do to you. They saw there were all these kids, including me, out in the front yard playing. The adults were sitting on the porch or out on the lawn in the armchairs relaxing. And they're just going to come up and spray bullets everywhere. Total disregard.
Who were the shooters, Mitch? Mitch, who were the shooters?
Some hillbillies in the community.
Just redneckers?
Just hillbilly country up in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Hillbilly country.
Got it.
So my dad was in the Pacific War in World War II. He was in four invasions, Leyte, Mindoro, and the Gulf of Lingayen in the Philippines, and Balikpapan in Borneo. He was experienced. I ran and got behind a telephone pole. My dad ran up and took me behind a stout rock wall near the pole. He told me never to look over the top of the wall because I will die if I do. He said, if you must look, just look out from the bottom edge of the wall and expose as little of yourself as possible for as short of time as necessary. I asked him for a gun. He smiled and said that there were just enough guns for the big people. And then he started shooting at the car from the bottom of the wall on the corner. My family had all taken cover, and if they had been caught in the open, they laid down in a prone position and fired from where they were so they would present as small a target as possible. I could hear the bullets smacking the rock wall. The guys in the car were getting messed up because they had no cover, and they presented a large stationary target. It only lasted about 3 minutes, but seemed like an hour. They drove off quickly. Their car was shattered. We walked out onto the road to continue shooting at them until they were out of range. There were some fingers laying on the road and blood spattered about. Lots of broken glass. The front of my aunt's house was peppered with bullet holes and broken glass. We took no casualties. My father said that those guys had obviously never been to war. They were amateurs. It was my first lesson in gunfighting.
How old were you, Mitch, at the time?
Seven.
How old were you? Seven?
Mm-hmm. Seven. Yep. Mm-hmm. So cover is how you avoid getting hit. Getting behind something that you know stops bullets. Telephone.
May I ask a question, Mitch?
Okay.
Can you pause for a sec? What about, rather than sticking your head up, what about the little, battlefield-grade, military-grade, a little periscope? They used them in World War I all the time.
A mirror that you hold up is fine. Yeah, a mirror.
Right.
That's
little,
fine.
They got those little periscopes are pretty neat, too, but whatever. Okay.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So cover is how you avoid getting hit. Getting behind something that you know stops bullets. Present as small a target as possible. Never shoot over something. Always shoot around it as low to the ground as possible. When I started out in the Army in 1971, this is what we did because we did not have Army armor. When I started out as a cop in 1980, we learned the same because we did not have body armor. In both cases, getting behind cover or presenting as small a target as possible was necessary. If caught in the open, getting down was necessary, and speed was your other protection. It does help if you zigzag as you are running to make it harder to hit you. When I was 15 in Bell County, Kentucky, I had three guys open fire on me from just a few feet away. I made it 20 feet to a ditch on the other side of the road without getting hit. When I was 16, I had to run downhill through the trees with about seven guys shooting at me with revolvers. I zigzagged. Then as I got out of view in the bushes, I ran perpendicular to the line of fire and got out of the way. So, yes, it works. It is your only option if you're unarmed. The military and police do not teach this anymore because they have body armor, but they still get killed. It is great if you have body armor, but I still would not just stand out in the open. Look at it as added protection, not your first line of protection. If you get shot with body armor on, it still hurts like hell. It can still do damage. And after the fall, you have no way to get medical attention. So they have, do not want to risk getting damaged.
Right. All right. There are two. I'm not. You're the pro. But from my baseline citizen perspective, I've looked into body armor. They have two grades of vest. The most common will stop 9mm, 45, so forth. Maybe 223, I guess. But the... No, I don't think it'll stop 223. Anyway, and then the upgraded one, the most protection you can get, will stop an AK-47 round and 223-556. That's probably the one you're going to get if you're going to get body armor. They have a lower grade that's popular. It'll stop all pistol rounds, 9s, 45s, etc., 22s. But you want to have the one that'll stop the combat rifle rounds. That would be what I would expect. Am I right? Or is the other one okay,
well,
too?
Yes. In other words, listen, your basic thing to stop pistol bullets is Kevlar, okay? Just a Kevlar vest. Now they like the first time I got one in the police department, they said it'll stop a .38 caliber or a 9mm, but nothing greater. But after I left at the police department, I took it out and I put it on a pole, and I shot it with a .45. And it stopped 45. Okay, so whatever they say it'll stop, it'll actually stop a little bit more. They just had to advertise it for something lower because they don't want to get sued. Okay?
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
So none of these things are ever accurate. Now the thing to stop rifle rounds is not Kevlar. It's to have a ceramic or a steel plate. That's a special metal plate, and you put those in over your Kevlar vest. Okay, and. Even those, keep in mind that, like a ceramic plate, it'll stop that first round, but second round might make it through. So it's still not a good idea to just stand outside with it, okay?
Sure.
So they can be useful, but, still take cover. You can't take a risk. There's not going to be a hospital for you, okay?
Understood. Yeah.
So the next thing is, once you shoot from one position, you have given away your position, and they won't bring fire to bear on that position. So shoot and move to a new position as soon as safely possible. This helps you avoid getting shot also. Notice that snipers are trained. You take a shot from one place, and then you move to another place. You never stay in the same place and keep shooting people, because after your first shot or two, they know where you are.
Another question.
Fire on you.
Understood. Yeah. A laser pointer. You sight in a laser for a rifle. An AR-15. You get a laser on it. They can see that laser. Or if you have a night light, you're in a dark situation, you've got a flashlight on the end of it or some kind of a light that has good reach, you're still a target. You can be picked off by that laser beam, can you not?
Well, yes. Let me tell you the advantage of the laser. Okay, the laser is going to allow you to acquire a target faster. Okay, in other words, you're going to use the laser to acquire a target and hit it. Then you're going to move. You can turn the laser off and you're going to move. Okay.
Got it.
Yes, they can see it, but they won't. But you're right on them, and you can shoot them before they can shoot back. Other people with them can shoot at you, but you're going to move. You're not going to stay there. So it gives you a chance to acquire a target faster and take it down. So there
red
is an
dot,
advantage to it. Okay.
Red dot or laser?
Red dots don't shoot out anything. This is a red dot sight,
yes,
or whatever.
Understood.
Or a holographic sight doesn't put anything out. So they can't see.
Correct.
You, but you can acquire a target faster. So that's why those technologies are a little bit better and safer for you. Okay.
Understood. Okay.
And for the flashlight, when I was a cop, you'd never hold the flashlight around your body. We would always hold it out. Like you see them on TV, they got the flashlight and they got the gun right over the flashlight.
That's
bad
crossed.
Idea, because when somebody shoots, they're going to reflexively shoot at the light, and you're there where the light is. So we would always hold the light out away from us, and that way... they'll shoot at the light, they'll probably hit nothing, and then the flash of their gun shows you where
assuming
they are.
They're a good shot, okay. And we all know that handguns in times of high stress are often rather inaccurate, let's put it that way.
Oh, yes,
people,
they are.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, there's other disadvantages to a light in that it destroys your night vision. Like if you're
sure
if you're in a military operation, you don't have a white light. You use a red light, so that, when you look away, when you look away from what you're looking at, you still have your night vision. Okay,
understood.
So the second aspect of winning a gunfight is to be a better shot than your opponent. That takes practice. When instructing others, I notice that people often have a habit of taking a shot and pausing to see where they hit. That gives your opponent an opportunity to shoot you. In peacetime self-defense situations, you want to shoot fast and accurately until your opponent drops and is no longer a threat. You do not want to deliver a coup de grace to finish them off. Killing someone who no longer poses a threat to you is murder. So is killing them when they break off the attack and run away. After the fall, when there is no government and anarchy reigns, you must make sure that those who attack you die. If you don't, they will be back. You must run every one of them down and finish them off. People are the most vulnerable when they are retreating, but you still must be careful. I remember chasing a bear so I could get a picture, a crazy thing to do, I guess. He did not want me to take a picture, so I chased him until I could not see him. And then I backed off. Animals and humans will circle around and attack you from the rear.
Oh,
but you lose contact, your advantage is over.
Got it.
So shoot until they drop, but be careful even after that. A wounded animal or a human is extremely dangerous. When I was young, I used to go hunting animals. How to practice? Start with targets and start with two-handed shooting with pistols. It gives you the most control over your shots. But once again, this is not competition shooting, so you will have to practice for real-life fights. In real life, during a gunfight, you may become wounded, so you must train for that. Do not get hurt or hurt others during your training, so be careful in your design and running your range. I knew a customs agent who was well-trained with firearms. Him and his best friend were shooting at a still target, and he shot and killed his best friend. He is a sober person, so be careful. He was trained and sober and killed his best friend. So so be careful when you design these target ranges, okay? So start with still position and a still target, okay? Start with a strong hand, strong eye. Then go to a strong hand, weak eye, in case your strong eye is wounded. Then go to practice shooting with a weak hand and strong eye, in case your strong hand is wounded. Then a weak hand, weak eye, in case both your strong hand and eye are wounded. Start at 10 feet and move out to 50 feet. This is the combat range the pistol was intended for. Learn to point shoot because you most often do not have the luxury of aiming. This is like pointing your finger. Learn to do this both-handed first. If you have a laser pointed on your pistol, you can save ammo by practicing at first with just the laser. Just point the pistol where you want to hit. Pick a small target about 1 inch square at about 10 to 25 feet. Also, learn to reflex shoot if you have reflex sights.
So you like, Mitch, this is important. You like the idea, then, of learning to aim and fire, I shouldn't say aim, point and shoot, point at the target and shoot. If you take time to aim, well, I got to get this iron sight up here and I got to acquire the target, by then it's too late. So you're saying, look at your target, lift that pistol up and shoot, right? What'd you call it? Sight shooting? Something.
Point shooting.
Okay.
And point shooting, like if you have a little, say you have a quarter to the wall. If you point your finger at it, you'll notice your finger will point right at it, easy. Okay, the barrel of the gun is just an extension of your finger pointing. Okay,
understood.
You'll find that actually it won't take you long to be able to just point and shoot, and you're going to hit where you want to hit. Not as accurate as aiming, but you don't have to be that accurate. You just have to hit somewhere. If you hit within a 3-inch radius, center of mass, or even at the head, you're going to hit. Okay.
Got it.
So,
got it.
But before you point shoot, learn to shoot with the sights, because that's going to teach you control of the gun, kick of the gun. It's going to get you in tune with the gun. So you're going to target, shoot, and aim first, because you're going to get yourself, you're going to build muscle memory in that. Once you have muscle memory, you'll find that point shooting comes easy. Okay. You're just going to point it out, and then boom. It's just like you're pointing your finger at it. Boom. Okay. And you're never going to just shoot once, okay? You shoot until they drop. Bam, 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 bam. Fast and furious, okay? So reflex sights are mostly on, like AR-15s, you get reflex sights. And you're doing the same. You're doing something similar, but a long barrel rifle is different. So you're going to have to sight it. Like if you have these holographic sights, wherever the dot is where the bullet's going to go. It's quick. It's easy to acquire a target quickly and put the round where you want it, okay? So then you want to learn carbine to pistol transition, as you will probably have to do this in a fight. In other words, you're shooting with an AR-15, you say, and the enemy is coming upon you. There's a point where you may have to pull out your pistol and start shooting when they get close enough, okay?
Got it.
So do point, reflex, and transition shooting with both strong and weak hands and eyes as above. Okay.
Understood.
So it's going to be different when you're point shooting with with your weak eye. Okay.
Got it.
Now you're gonna practice point shooting basically with both eyes, but you're going to want to do that because you'll probably have both eyes open. But when you're practicing point shooting, practice with just your strong eye, because that's where the bullet's going to go. So you've got to get your pistol control and control of where you're shooting with your strong eye first. Okay. And the way you figure out which is your strong eye is take your thumb and put it out in front of you and put it over an object. With both eyes. Then close one eye. Say your right eye is the strong eye. Close your left eye, and the thumb should be right over the target. Now close your right eye, and the left eye, your thumb will be way off the target. That's your weak eye. Okay. So you're going to have to figure out what's your weak and what's your strong eye. Some people have left, and some people have right strong eyes. Okay. So when I say strong hand, some people are left-handed, some people are right-handed. Whatever your strong is, okay, that's what applies, okay? So then practice all this from a still position with moving targets. Then from a moving position to a still target, because sometimes you're going to be moving.
If you're out, I guess ranges have moving target setups, and you can go there. If you're out on your own,
well, you could have somebody behind you pulling a string, pulling the target along, whatever.
Got it. Okay.
Just be inventive. You know, but be safe. Be very safe.
Oh yeah, we don't want somebody
running
around holding a target over
there. If you don't make it through the range, it doesn't matter what happens after the fall.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
So you're going to go from a still position with a moving target. Then you're going to start with a still to a still position, a still position to a still target, and then a still position to a moving target, then a moving position to a still target, and finally from a moving position to a moving target. And do not progress until you get good with one and then move on to the next, okay? Do this with carbines and rifles also. You're always going to have moving targets. You're always going to probably be moving, okay?
Got it.
So weapons are tools, and like any tool, different weapons have different purposes. So let me go over them. Pistols are for close quarters combat, from hand-to-hand combat to the maximum of 50 feet away. At more than 25 feet away, a rifle is more practical. I would just practice out to 50 feet away, just so that you're good out to 50 feet away, but you don't actually want to fight out to 50. You want to, with a pistol, you're 25 feet away is about where a pistol battle should be. Okay. So pistol, you see a 22 lot... caliber.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. You see a lot of television now, and they have silencers, suppressors on pistols. Is this something that is now still highly legal, and you have to get a federal FFL special kind of a release to have?
Yeah, you have to pay a $200 tax. Yeah. Listen, all these illegal weapons, what they call illegal weapons, are legal. In federally legal, maybe not in some states, but right. You can buy a silencer. You can pay good money for the silencer. You pay a $200 tax stamp. It takes about 10 months to process it with you.
10 months. Okay.
Yeah, 10 months. And then you get a paper, and it has the tax stamps on it. It's got a paper with your picture on it and all that. And then you should carry that with you whenever you have the silencer. Now, the silencer is good for when you have to take somebody out, but you don't want to attract attention to yourself. Because when you shoot, people are going to know you're there. That's what silence weapons are good for. They still might not know you're there, okay?
So
pistols 22 to 380 caliber are backup guns for last-ditch, very close defense. Women will need these to have an advantage over a man in hand-to-hand combat. So pistols, 38 caliber, 9mm and above, are for regular sustained close quarters combat, out to 25 feet. The longer the barrel, the easier to hit your target in point shooting. Revolvers do not jam, but they take longer to reload. Get reloaders and practice with them. Semi-autos give you more shots without reloading. To avoid jams, just use full metal jacket ball ammunition. It jams less. If you get hollow points and stuff like that, you start getting jams. You can't afford a jam in a gunfight, okay? So submachine guns are inaccurate and are used for suppressive fire. This is to keep the enemy's head down. Protection teams use them to get the principal from a car to cover. Tankers use them to lay down suppressive fire so they can crawl out of the top of a tank and get to cover. Parachutists use them to lay down suppressive fire until they land and can get to cover. These are not otherwise useful infantry weapons and are not that great in the fight. They look cool and are compact. That is it. They're not that practical fighting. Machine guns are for general combat but are also suppressive fire weapons and not that accurate. I took first place in the Forcecom Central Region matches at Fort Riley, Kansas, in 1978 with an M60 light machine gun because I learned to fire single shots from this full auto-only weapon and was able to strike the targets more often than my competition who were firing three-round bursts. These weapons are used to make the enemy keep their heads down while a maneuver team is flanking their position. Okay, so the thing about the three-round burst, which everybody would opt for, is the first round will hit the target, second round, 50-50 chance, third round's going to always be off. So I learned to just, even though it's fully automatic and it did not alter anything, I learned to squeeze off one round at a time, okay? And that way, almost every one of my bullets hit the target, and that's how I took first place. And a lot of guys were disputing me. And the officers got together and they looked at the rules and said, well, the only rule is that you have to shoot 20 rounds in 15 seconds. And I did that. So I got my prize. Okay?
That's some talent.
So, but you can
see that's very impressive, that
a single shot is always better than a whole bunch of shots. Okay.
Understood. Yeah.
Machine guns are for suppressive fire to keep people's heads down. They're not meant to be accurate. Okay. So shotguns with buckshot are good for fighting inside buildings because they spray out in a pattern and the pellets are less likely to penetrate a wall and kill your friends or family. You can also buy specialized rounds to do other things. Also, they are for hunting animals for food. If you have a 22 caliber rifle, they will get you food without making as much noise. Okay, carbines like M2s, M16s, SKSs, and AK-47s are for urban warfare or jungle and thick forest land. They are meant for warfare within about 1,000 feet maximum. In open terrain like farmland and desert, they put you at a disadvantage because those with the main battle rifles can outreach you. It's the same as like in a boxing fight. The guy with the longer arms has more reach and can land more punches. So if you're in open country and you've got an M16 that'll shoot accurately to 1,000 feet, but your opponent has one that has a 7.62 main battle rifle that shoots three times as far, you're at a disadvantage. Okay.
Right.
So high-powered bolt-action hunting rifles are best for open country because they allow you to engage your targets at long range with accurate fire. Just like in a fistfight,
sniper
gives you an
sniper
advantage.
Sniping format.
Yes, sniper rifles are usually bolt-action. They're highly accurate. Okay.
What would you what would you recommend as a baseline good all-round sniper rifle? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the classic is the Remington 700 in 308.
Yep.
I'll talk about ammunition in a minute, but 308. Also, the old 1903 A3 Springfield is an excellent sniper rifle.
Really?
Okay. Well,
that's
a
classic.
They're bolt action, so they're accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so these are useful in cities also. The further away you can engage your target accurately, the safer you are. So main battle rifles are semi-automatic, high-powered rifles that are also accurate. They normally shoot a 7.62-millimeter times 51-millimeter round and are very powerful. Like the high-powered hunting rifles, you can engage your targets at long range, but also can hit several targets in rapid succession before they can get to cover. So it's speed of shots that the semi-automatic gives you. Okay. So let's go to ammunition. Try to have weapons that use very common ammo so that you can find more after everything comes undone. The more to begin with, the more there will be available in the long run. Use what the military and police use. This is 5.56 millimeter, 223 caliber, 7.62 millimeter, which is 308 caliber, in rifles, 12 gauge in shotguns, and 9 millimeter, 40 caliber, and 45 caliber in pistols. That's common, easy to get ammunition. Okay. If you get odd rounds, you may run out and then you have a worthless gun. You could use it as a club, you know, but. Okay.
Some people buy 20 gauge because the gals don't want to get knocked on their cans.
Yeah, that's
12.
True. They do. So but just look around, look in any place, and you'll see there's like 10 times more 12 gauge ammo available.
Sure.
Than anything else. So
right.
So a final word on gunfighting. Each gunfight you are in puts your life at risk. So the best policy is to avoid being seen and avoid the fight. After the fall, many will be hunting and killing others just to take their shit. They will underestimate some people and lose their shit. Avoid the attack to survive, but if you are attacked, attack them viciously and mercilessly. The very best defense is the offensive. This is you taking the initiative away from them. Crush them underfoot and run down every last one of them and kill them so they cannot come back and attack you on another day. Then take their shit. Okay? They're dead. They don't need it anymore.
I think you're right. They will come back. They will come back. That's
now
awesome.
They know you're there. Now they can pick up a trail and find you.
Right.
So this is a self-defense thing. You cannot let them live. Okay. I mean, most people haven't met extremely vicious people in their lives, and most people aren't aware that even their neighbors that seem like laid-back, normal people in exceptional circumstances, they become very vicious and cruel people also. Okay, heartless. You know, when there's no food left and you got some food, people will kill you to take it away from you, okay? If they get the drop on you, they may want to play with you first and torture you before they kill you. They may want to rape your wife and daughter, whatever, okay? Just keep this in mind. You know, Christ says that all people are bad people. So there's really only two kinds of people in the world. There's bad people that think they're good people, and then there's bad people that know they're bad people. Bad people who think they're good people, you can see the very worst come out in them, okay? I've met two serial killers before I associated with them, before they were caught, okay? Both of them seem like very normal people like anybody else, but they were serial killers, okay? You cannot really tell until the time comes, okay?
Well, I hope all of you listen to this program again. It'll be up under Mitchell Henderson's columnist section at rents.com. A lot of great advice there. If you want to write to Mitch and ask him a question, you can certainly write to me. I'll forward it on to him, no problem. I don't want to overload him, but we'll be happy to do that. So there we go. Good job, Mitch. Thank you. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, okay. You're very welcome.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Mitchell Henderson. All right, there we go. Off and rolling on a Monday. Thank you for being here. Still some time to get ready because it's coming. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.